Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirstie Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look.
Hey, Kirstie.
Hey, Kim.
I've really been anticipating today's interview.
Yes, it's been a while since we've recorded an episode, and I've really missed our antics.
Me too. Me too. It's going to be a perfect picnic of an episode because we're talking about your new book, Smarty Aunt.
Yay!
Illustrated by Erin Taylor. Oh my goodness, I love this perfectly funny, rhyming edition story. You've packed so much incredible goodness into this book. And the art is simply delightful.
It is so delightful. That's a plus, right?
It really is.
We're excited to talk to Erin and our editor, Christiane Jones. Let's get started.
Can you share with us where the inspiration for this story came from?
Well, we started with the title. We thought it would be really fun to play off the idiom smarty pants. And the idea of a colony of ants working together to build a house and adding things as they go, we just thought it would be pretty hilarious. It just started with the title and went from there.
Can I ask a follow-up to that? Were you ever concerned about writing a story about ants? And I mean,
yes, this was my one worry, is that ants can be very ugly as illustrated. And I thought, oh no, if we don't get the right illustrator, this could be like really terrible. But oh my goodness, Erin, you did such a fabulous job that I don't have to worry at all.
They're absolutely adorable. Absolutely adorable. That's what I was wondering, because, you know, people have different feelings towards ants.
That's the other thing.
If that ever crossed your mind.
Well, I actually dedicated the book to my daughter, who is very academically inclined, but terrified of ants.
Oh, shame.
So she's 20, so she thought it was funny. Thank goodness. And
That's good.
So, Christiane, when you first saw this manuscript, what were your thoughts and why did you choose to acquire it?
I love that you mentioned the title, because that's what hooked me. You know, I saw this submission come in and it said Smarty Ants. And I thought, oh, this is really clever right off the bat. And then I read the script and I was just in awe of all the elements that were included just seamlessly into a story. There was rhyming, there was math, there was wordplay, there were some SEL elements. And then you get to that surprise ending, which is so sweet. It was absolutely the perfect book for Capstone, which can be hard to find because we have, you know, our market is a little bit, it's a lot of school library, but also trade. And to find a book that covers all that is really, really tricky. And this nailed it. And then all I could think is, as a parent, I would read this. I know teachers would use this in multiple lessons, which not many picture books can do that. And then you think about story time and reading this aloud. And when I would read it aloud, it's so fun to read. And
oh my goodness, this makes me so happy to hear.
And then on top of that, I looked, after I got done reading it, I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, these are two dynamic authors that have, you know, presence in the market. I mean, I truly can say in all my years of acquisitions, I haven't had a book that I knew it's tricky and that I knew right away would go through our process just without question. And it did. And I was, you know, and then I always do feel like honored that I was the one who got to find it, right? I was like, oh, this is perfect. So,
well, you know why we sent it to you? Because Kim and I interviewed you for Laura Gell's book,
yeah,
May Saves the Day. And I said to my agent, this is a little bit similar to May Saves the Day. And we really liked interviewing you. You were super friendly. And I said, you should submit it to Christiane because I would love to work with her.
Well, it worked out perfectly. So I was truly, it was one of those books that I read once and just knew automatically, I have to work on this book. So,
wow. Wow. That's amazing. That is high praise. That's wonderful. Well, what was the illustrator selection process once everything went through? How did you find Erin?
Oh, the illustrator process is always very stressful for me because I'm in it, but not, you know, not hiring. I just get to be part of it. And I'm sure Erin gets a lot of offers. We know that. And so we were, you know, once we acquire a manuscript, the big thing is to, I like to ask the authors for suggestions, and then our creative director and the designer on the project, we all get together with, they have some suggestions they like. I bring what I like and the authors like, and we pick usually about three to present to our marketing and sales team and our publisher. And then our creative director, Nathan, is very good at selling what we really want and what fits the energy and vibe of the product. And Nathan has 20 years experience. So we listened to Nathan. And
wow.
And we were very, very fortunate because Nathan and I had worked with Erin on a previous title. And so that was our top pick. And we were a little worried because I thought the scheduling is tricky with picture books. And they move fast, especially when you have that arc date to hit. And so we had Erin on our list, and Nathan said, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to reach out to her first. This is what everybody feels is the best fit. And again, like the manuscript, it just worked, which, you know, that's a little bit of magic, right? When everything comes together how you want it to. And so and I was really excited because I remember working with Erin and thinking, oh, that this was one of the easiest books that I'd worked on in the past because she was so willing to have her expertise and to collaborate and to, you know, tweak things if needed and get things in on time. And so again, it was like, this was meant to be. And so I was thrilled when Erin said yes.
Oh, I love that.
I'm thrilled that Erin said yes.
We all were.
Erin, what was it about this project that made you want to say yes?
So I'm one of those people who loves ants. I have loved them all my life. I grew up childhood in Arizona.
Perfect.
Ants are like terrifyingly dangerous, right? Yeah. The fire ants. But I loved them. I would spend time like out in the desert, like watching them and seeing where they went. And I like when there were anthills in our backyard, I was like, no, Dad, you can't get rid of them. I like them. And, you know, enjoyed Ant Farm. So I like ants. They're really interesting to me. So just that it was an ant book hooked me right away. It's like, oh, absolutely. You know, I'll draw ants. And then reading it. Yeah. Like you're saying, it was so clever and so fun, but I was just like, oh, absolutely. And the ideas were instant. I'm like, you know, I can see it forming already. It'll just be fun from start to finish to work on this.
Oh, yay.
That's remarkable. So I think it's remarkable that you love ants, not because that's like strange or anything. I mean, but I just think typically, you know, people have different.
Yeah, they're not a favorite.
I had ant farms growing up and I loved them too.
Did you? So I'm just on the opposite side of that scenario where they're not my favorite. I'm not afraid of them, but how serendipitous that. Mm-hmm. You get this manuscript when you just love ants. I love that so much. Christine was talking about how you packed this book with so many different things, rhyming, puns, math, surprise endings, heart. How did you do that? Can you share with us the writing process a little bit?
I had so much fun writing this with Corey Rosen-Schwartz, and it was just fun to work together on the manuscript, and we brainstormed every single word with the word ant in it. That was the first. We had like a whole list, and how can we get this in? We actually wanted to have at least one ant pun on each spread, and I think we succeeded. there is actually one double pun in the manuscript, which I'll let people try to find when they're reading the story, so...
Little
Easter egg to look
there.
For.
Love that.
We texted back and forth the stanzas. Sometimes we would work on a Google Doc at the same time, or sometimes we talked on the phone, and it came together pretty quickly. We just tried to think of things that would be funny to illustrate and things we could add up for the math part of the manuscript. And we also wanted to interrupt the rhyme. There's a significant moment in the story. It's supposed to surprise the reader and also just create a little bit of an interruption so that when kids are listening to the story, there's a little bit of variety in the rhyme scheme. It was super fun and easy to write in that way.
So that point in the story that interrupts the rhyme scheme because I feel like that adds a whole other layer to the story. It really, because you have these ants building this house, right? And then you have this moment. And was that always planned? I feel like story could have been just a simple story about these ants building this house and then they succeed and life is wonderful, yada, 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 whatever. But the way that you interrupted that rhyme and kind of threw the reader for that twist, was that always planned?
Yes.
Was that something
we wanted? We want to make sure that there is a twist that seems, you know, inevitable. It's actually something that happens to real ants all the time.
Right. Right. I'm loving all the teasers we're throwing in here for people to just pick up this book and read. Excellent. Very clever. I mean, that's you're absolutely right. It's something that happens to ants all the time and kind of on the other end of it.
Right.
Usually.
Right. Yeah. So, Christiane, what was the editing process like for this book?
The editing process on this for me was just the most fun because it was so collaborative, which is my favorite thing to do. I love when authors are willing to have Zoom meetings and
was fun.
I love that. And I try very hard to treat every manuscript I get as, you know, I'm the lucky one working on this and it's the author's vision. And so when I have ideas or any tweaks I would like, it's important to work with the authors. And because Corey and Chrissy are such pros that it really made my job easy because I could just say, I could say something just real vague, like, I'm not sure this is working quite right. And then they come back with the most creative alternatives. And I'm talking like multiple alternatives. That fit the stanza, fit the rhyme, you fit everything. And, you know, edits, I think it's easy to say a rhyming story would be, people are like, oh, how hard could it be to write? Because when it's done really well, it flows so seamlessly, it does seem like it'd be easy. But a solid rhyming story is very tricky. And Corey and Kirsty are just pros. And so anytime I had ideas or tweaks, I thought it just would work and they'd come up with all these ideas and it just made it so fun to see how they worked together as well, which it's, you know, it's different to work with an author team because it's usually just one author. And so it's a very collaborative process and they were so willing to, you know, listen and explain their vision and listen to what would work for our market. And then on top of that, because they included every element you could ever think of in a picture book somehow, we had, you know, and Aaron will definitely attest to this, that there were so many things outside of just the editing of the story that we had to make sure worked. You know, we had to make sure all the each counting element was there, that, you know, you debate things like, do we spell the number out in the text or do we show the numeral? How do we call out the word ant, as Christy had mentioned, the amount of ant words, you know, tenant and constant, and there's a million of them. And how do you call that out without making it a distraction, but making it work? And there's just those little things that are really important for the final product that you have to think through. And so with everybody working together, the final product has everything just done perfectly. And it just reads like, oh, this probably took no time at all because it's so clever. And with Aaron's art and how it captured the energy, it just, and in the end, it was like, I saw the book, you know, you see the PDF. And then when you actually get to hold the book, you're just so proud of it.
Oh my goodness.
Because you want everybody's vision to be met. And I think, you know, I didn't know what ants were going to look like either. And it is scary. And then Erin made ants like, you want to be their best friend. And
oh, so they're so delightful. Yeah. They're so delightful. And Christiane, I do want to say, it was so great to work with you, with an editor who was like super willing to listen to our ideas. And it was a collaboration. It was a beautiful collaboration.
Thank you. It was. This book I'm so proud of. I got my copy yesterday, but I got an additional 10 for family members who are teachers.
Yay. That's excellent.
I love it.
That's excellent. Like we were just saying, your art is the perfect fit. And the colors are so fun. They're bright. They're vibrant. And you did. You managed to make ants adorable. Like, can you give us a look into what your illustration process was like for the story?
Mm-hmm. My general process, I keep pretty simple, honestly. I like to draw just on plain old copy paper with a ballpoint pen to draw it out. So I do that, and I just draw as many ideas as I can initially think of, just pages and pages and stacks, and then I go through those, and my kids help me a little bit to find the cutest ones, you know, which ones they like. That ant's ugly, but that ant's cute, you know?
Yeah.
And so then I go from there, and I refine those ideas a little bit, and then I send those in, to the art director and have them take a look, and if it's not working, then, you know, they'll give comments on that and send it back. Once it's kind of dialed in, just the general feeling and idea and colors, then I switch from pen to pencil, kind of the opposite. Most people start with pencil and go to pen. Then I switch back over to a pencil, draw up my finals, scan them or photograph them, and then color them digitally. And that part goes by really quickly. So once you've got your little character and you draw it out, then the finals, they kind of make themselves. This one had a challenge I had never come up against before, that the location repeated so many times, but was different every time. I mm-hmm. built a cardboard ant house so that I could turn it and make sure that it was.
Wow, that's so cool.
The right.
Everything. Really?
It was from all different angles. Yeah. And so then my kids used it as a dollhouse for a little while after that. But we had the actual ant house existed in my house. It was about this big, made out of cardboard.
Oh, wow. Well, Erin, you did so many clever things in the illustrations.
There were so many clever things in the writing to play with. It was really fun.
I love the little butter bathtubs and the playing card as a table and the sock as a rug. And I mean, there are so many things for the kids to find, kids and adults to find in the illustrations as they're reading.
Yeah, really. Definitely. I mean, that's that world of all those little things, you know, is that world and the kid world, you know, that's what they're playing with. So
it's true.
It was fun to stick that in.
So do you draw or create every day? Is that
I try to. That's my goal. You know, there's life sneaks itself in. But yeah, every minute I can, that's what I enjoy doing.
That's awesome. What would you say is the hardest part of illustrating for you?
Stopping.
Oh, I love that answer.
I do too.
I don't think anyone has answered that question in that way ever. And we've done a lot of these interviews. That's beautiful.
Okay.
It's what I feel most at home doing is drawing. So I'm doing that all the time.
Joy, delight. That's fantastic. Wonderful.
I love it.
Well, we're on to our last question already. Christiane, we'll start with you. When someone reads Smarty Ant, what do you hope they feel or learn?
I really hope that they feel, I always think like, how did I feel when I read the story the first time? And I felt, I laughed and I smiled and I felt so light afterwards. And I kind of felt empowered to try math in every day. And honestly, as an editor, you know, math isn't my number one thing to do. And I just think it shows, you know, you learn the determination from those little ants. And it just made it so lighthearted and fun. And I just want everybody after they read this to feel that same empowerment and lightheartedness, because it's the best feeling.
I love that. What about you, Erin? when someone reads Smarty Ants, what do you hope they feel or learn?
I hope they like ants a little more.
I do. I will say I do.
It works.
So, yeah. No, good. And then just like you were saying, I hope they notice all the little pieces and all the little details and have fun in that miniature world.
I have that little miniature world. So fun. Kirsty, how about you? When someone reads Smarty Ants, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Well, I definitely hope that people laugh. And I hope they feel like working together and collaborating like the ants do. And most of all, I hope that people decide to be curious and ask other people questions and become friends with someone who is different than they are.
A big thank you to Kirsty, Erin, and Christiane for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for Smarty Ants. Check out the show notes to learn more about Kirsty and Erin and the other fabulous books they have out in the world. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening, and happy looking!
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.